This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here. I'm glad it's not raining and the sun is out.
That's a beautiful week here in Washington. And John, you were a little bit fearful last week, although still feeling good about your prediction that for the first time in almost 90 years, Republicans would win the seat that is now New York's 9th Congressional District. And not only were you were correct by a pretty wide margin, an 8 percentage point win in a district for Republicans where Democrats have a 3-to-1 registration advantage. Bob Turner, the Republicans seem to make this about the president, about Israel, and to some extent about David Weprin's vote in favor of gay marriage. In the end, that turned out to be a pretty toxic combination for the Democrats. How big of a deal is this?
Well, it's a very big deal. When one considers that the Queens Brooklyn district of Anthony Weiner not only has not elected a Republican House member since 1920, but that its Democratic registration edge is 3-to-1 over Republicans, and that its communities are primarily ethnic, Italian, Irish, Vietnamese, and Orthodox Jewish, that's political upheaval. As my friend, the historian David Piotruska, put it, this is on a par of Scott Brown's election to Ted Kennedy's Senate seat in Massachusetts in January of 2010. Bob Turner himself said that the campaign was fueled by anger over the administration, and he ran as an unabashed conservative, pro-life, pro-marriage, against Obamacare, and for cutting taxes, in his words, the way Reagan did. That's not like representatives who normally win in the Brooklyn-Queens area. So there had to be someone upset with the administration to elect someone like Mr. Turner.
John, we know that New York's going to be losing a little bit of representation in Congress due to the recent census. Does this virtually guarantee that Democrats will phase out this district?
Well, that's what I hear all the time, and that Congresswoman Ann Marie Burkle in the Syracuse area is the Republican who is most vulnerable to losing her district. That said, one has to say that when I interviewed Bob Turner when he was carrying the lonely Republican standard against Anthony Weiner last year, who would have thought he would be a national figure just 10 months after he was defeated?
John, let's move out to the other special election, which hasn't gotten as much attention since it was probably expected that Republican Mark Amaday would win the vacant seat in Nevada's 2nd Congressional District, formerly held by Dean Heller, who's now Senator Heller, replacing John Ensign. But this is a district that over the years has been relatively competitive, certainly more competitive than New York 9 has been. But Amaday wins this by 22 points. What does that say about Nevada, a state that went for President Obama in 2008?
Well, things are certainly changing in Nevada right now. But remember, Nevada elected a Republican governor last time. Nevadans very nearly ousted Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid, the state's most powerful politician. And this is a district that, since it was created, has never sent a Democrat to Congress. So I was not surprised that Mark Amaday won, or won comfortably. What's particularly noteworthy is the fact that Democrats tried the tactic of Metascare, something fueled by voter doubts about the budget plan of Congressman Paul Ryan, that 10 years from now would reform the Medicare program, and it would impact on people who are now only 55 or under. Well, the congressman was able to respond very vigorously to the Metascare tactics with a most effective person who said she was counting on him to save the system, his mother.
Hmm. John, you mentioned the Medicare issue and the Ryan plan that Democrats have brought up in this campaign. They did it also in a campaign earlier this year in a special election in New York State in a race to replace another scandal-tarred member of Congress. In this case, it was a Republican, and the Democrats did win that seat. And a variety of analyses why. Some say the strategy was effective. Others say the Republican candidate in that race just didn't have a very strong performance in the final stages of her campaign. So do you get the sense now that the oxygen is out of the Metascare issue, or does it just depend on the race and the candidates involved?
I think so. Jim Martin of the 60-plus Seniors Association, someone who's been a frequent guest on Radio America, went up in the end to campaign with the Republican candidate, Jane Corwin. You're talking about the race in the Buffalo area district.
Right.
And he began to say that what really affects Medicare and takes money away is Obamacare. And Jim began to prove that the best defense is a good offense. And sure enough, Corwin lost, but in a very close race. And she followed Jim Martin's lead and that of former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy, herself a physician, and they started to turn it around. There's a lot of lessons out there about how supporters of Medicare reform can effectively explain their program, and we're learning them as we go into the election year.
John, let's move on to the president's jobs bill now. And, of course, he gave the speech last Thursday night. Republicans have been lukewarm at best on some provisions. They're absolutely adamant that they're not going to go with the ending of the loopholes or tax increases, depending on how you couch the term, to pay for all of this $447 billion. Now we're even seeing some reports today that some Democrats in the Senate are less than thrilled with this, and they're not exactly the most moderate of Democrats. So what's the fate of this thing?
Dead on arrival. And the other part of the plan that you didn't mention was the president's call for extending the payroll tax cut. This is something, of course, that was passed last year that lowered the payroll tax rate from 6.2% to 4.2%. In July, 62 liberal House Democrats wrote to the president urging him not to extend the measure, saying it would be a cut to the revenue for Social Security. And now conservative Republicans are jumping into the act, with Congressman Pete Sessions of Texas saying it's a horrible idea, again, because it could lead Social Security to face the abyss of insolvency. So when you add up all of the programs, be they ending tax breaks for the higher wage earners to extending the payroll tax cut, I don't see what the president gets passed.
John, also this week, another Republican presidential debate. This one sponsored by CNN and the Tea Party Express. This one pretty animated. I would say that more of the candidates got some airtime than they did in the debate the previous week. But clearly Mitt Romney and Rick Perry and to some extent Michelle Bachmann were the featured players in this. Big fights over Social Security, big fights over Rick Perry's decision in Texas to mandate HPV vaccines for young girls. In the end, who improved their lot and who fell back a little bit?
Well, Michelle Bachmann certainly proved that she can be a scrapper when she's called on early on in the debate and dominates the stage. This was not the case in the previous debate. It was certainly the case last week. And her confrontation with Governor Perry dominated news reports for the next 24 hours. That said, I think even the most biased observer for Bachmann or Herman Cain or any of the other candidates would have to agree that the evening boiled to the two men that are called Governor Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, and they sparred over their records in state capital, their views on jobs, and their views on job creation and Social Security. And it was a very lively and spirited debate, never once getting personal. And that will be very good because in the process, the candidates will sculpt an agenda that paints a very vivid contrast to that of the man whose job they want.
Human events have any favorites at this point?
No, none whatsoever. We believe that all the candidates have a right to present themselves, and I will be heading to California for the state Republican convention this weekend, and then next weekend for Mackinac Island in your home state of Michigan to the Grand Hotel, where everyone gets a view of the candidates up close and personal.
Very good. One of the best places on earth to be. John, have a great time at both places. We'll talk to you next week.
Heading to the closest thing to heaven on earth, I'm John Gizzi, headed for the Grand Hotel at Mackinac Island, Michigan.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.